Hello.
Why are you laughing?
You have any tokens for the machine down the street?
Welcome to the Why Are You Laughing podcast.
Boom, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome back to another half-hour solo episode of the podcast. I got to apologize. I was so busy last week. I've been recording this EP for, a few weeks now. Just really kind of putting things together. I'm getting into it. You know, the process, the producing, the different sounds. You know, there's so much that goes into something like this that, I mean, I get in my head and I get excited and I get stoked about what's new and, you know, what I could do with different ways I write, different lyrics. You know, like I said before, the seriousness of this record is going to be, I shouldn't say the seriousness, not the seriousness, but the the potential for productivity as far as, you know, moving on with things, which is kind of today's topic. By the way, side point, I don't believe in topics. Like, I do it on this show because you guys deserve to hear different takes on things, you know. And so I kind of prioritize what you guys want to hear with what I want to say. So, contentment. That's a really tall order, especially now. I mean, I think for 2024, being content is the furthest thing from people's minds. We're constantly on our phones. We're constantly wanting more. I mean, there's just no end. You know, there's so many things to worry about. Like, you got to pay your taxes. You got to pay your regular bills. You know, things come up with the car. Oh my God, I need rotors and pads or whatever. And for anyone who's a regular class folk like myself, who's just trying to make his way in the world, it can be a struggle, and it can weigh on your brain. And I really do understand and respect why depression and anxiety and whatever category you fall into, I understand why that's so pertinent in this day and age, is because it's a real thing. My problem with people who are older than me, not all, but a lot of them, is when they say to you, you know, hey, you're just going to be a renter for life. You're never going to be able to, like, all this other stupid negative stuff that comes out of their mouth that they literally have never had to deal with because the cost of living has virtually no resemblance to what it was when they were young. It's easy for them to be content. They're about to retire. They're about to start the next great chapter of their life. But it's always going to be negative for them because it's a negative narrative. You know, they always just struggled, quote unquote, in their life, and they never appreciated what they got. And these days, like I said to you guys on the podcast back in October of last year, I'm doing a lot of counting my blessings because you have to. You have to look at the bright side, even for me. Like, that's so easy for me to say and try to put out into the universe, but I got to tell you, I'm trying. I really am trying. And getting back behind the mic and talking to you guys, and also getting behind the mic and talking about, or recording rather, the EP, that makes me so happy. You know, people talk about what they're thankful for on Thanksgiving. This just in, be thankful every day. Be thankful every day that you wake up in the morning breathing. You have a gift, use it, apply it, and make sure you understand and respect what you have. You know, I'm thankful that I got a roof over my head. I got an apartment that's one of the cheapest in town. You know, I'm thankful for, as crazy as this sounds, I'm thankful that I've struggled and learned through all these years. You know, when I was living in Marlboro, I was living like a prince. I had nothing to worry about. My grandmother, you know, I paid rent and I took care of the property and I did everything I was supposed to do. But without my grandmother, I would have been homeless. I think about that. I think about the life that she gave me. Like the next chapter of my life. You know, when I was 19 years old, things were moving fast. And I had to figure it out. And she helped me figure it out. Man, another side point. I miss that lady so much. Her and I were so much alike. It was beyond reason. Whether anyone knew it or not, she was one of my best friends. And as cheesy or weird as that's, I don't even care. It was the truth. It was the truth. We would go out and either I would pay for dinner or she would pay. I would sneak it on her. I would take, you know, when we were going out to dinner, they had those little kiosk things at the, it was like a little tablet at dinner at Applebee's. She liked to go to Applebee's and eat the fish and chips. And I would just take it and put my card in. She wouldn't even know. She'd go to Polaroid. Anyway, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for those times that I spent with her. And, I mean, my gosh, she would have been, let's see. I think she would have been 89 or 90 this month. It's crazy to think about. I mean, I haven't really talked about her much on the pod because it does hurt. It hurts a lot that she's gone. And, you know, that you get so used to a certain thing, it becomes a permanent fixture in your life. And then the next thing you know, it gets taken away from you in an instant. And I have no regrets about my relationship with her because we really did get to know each other very well. She would call me on the phone, and she never did that with anybody. She did when she, you know, didn't think she was bothering them, but that was rare. She never wanted to get in anybody's way. And I really, really did love her a lot. And I was happy that she still had the best sense of humor, even at 80-something years old. Like, she had a lot of problems, yeah. But she was one of the best examples of being content. And I model myself off of that now. Like, oops, thought I was going to sneeze. I model myself off of that now because, you know, I don't know what the future is going to hold. But I can't sit here thinking about the things that put me in a bad light. I'm not going to sit here and grovel and basically just suck the fun out of everything that I've done when I could spend more of my time being happy. Happy that I'm here. You know, it's like, yeah, the way of the world right now, it sucks. But at least you give it a shot. You give it a try. You know, you're not bound by the negativity that's around you. You have a choice. You could either A, think something to death, which I have definitely had a problem with. I think everything to death. But I also have grown away from that. I've found out things that really, really do make me happy. Just the fact that I've lost 80 pounds since 2021. And I know that sounds like a large margin of weight, but that's like fluctuating up and down. It's not an easy task. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for, you know, the people that I have in my life. My friends that are still holding on. My friends that are still keeping in contact and call me and want to know what's going on with me. Those guys, I'm indebted to them for life. You know, Sam Spickerman, who started this podcast with me, he'll still come on and do the show just to make me happy. Because he's a sweetheart of a guy. I talked to him today, and it's like I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful for, you know, my parents, even though that, yes, we don't get along sometimes, we have different opinion, but we always circle back around eventually to each other. Because I think at the core, you have to take the good from the bad. As hard as that is, and especially when you get hurt, when people who love you, they do great things for, you know, consecutively, more times in a row, and then the one bad thing that they do really hurts you, and that's hard for you to move on. It's like that scene in that 70s show where Eric goes up to Red and is like, you know, usually I expect you to do the right thing, but this time you didn't. That can really put some damage on a person, because you have such a high opinion and respect for them that, you know, you forget some of the good that they did. So, as hard as this is, you gotta let it go. And for me, I'm still working on that. I have a hard time letting things go because I'm so sensitive. I mean, it's like I have a hard time letting things go because of childhood, because of relationships, because of bad decisions. You know, I've made a lot of bad, harsh choices. And I feel bad. I feel guilty. I don't feel like sometimes I can recover. And that's a tough spot to be in when the reality is that you have so much that you could look forward to other than those things. But I think with time, because it is going by fast, when you're a kid, it goes by so slow. But now, when you get older, it's like, oh, look who's calling. Hey, you're on the pod.
I'm on the pod?
You're on the pod. I was just talking about you.
Tony Pod.
I'm just talking about...
Yes.
You. You just called.
Oh, you're just doing a pod.
I was doing a solo pod, but, you know, here you are.
What's up, everybody?
All right. Well, let me ask you this. Do you have any words of wisdom on being content?
Yeah. Just think about what you got and not what you don't have.
Gotcha.
That's pretty much it. Stop looking at what other people are doing. Start focusing on what you're doing.
Hard facts. Well, I'm going to get back to the show. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, whatever. I was just calling you back because I know that you were telling me about that weird wart you have on your testicles. We'll talk about that later, I guess.
I haven't gotten rid of it yet. I haven't announced it yet, but we'll figure it out.
Oh, all right. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Yes, yeah. That's why we do this. Oh my God. I love that, man. how do we come back from that? Yeah, it's a challenging realm to navigate being content, but you slowly start to realize as you get older, and this is kind of a negative thing, but you really aren't going to put up with a lot. There are going to be some things that you say, I'm not going to let this bother me anymore. I'm not going to allow this negative energy into my life. And sometimes that means cutting things off. You know, cutting off bad memories, you know, moving on. And that's funny because the first album that I was ever going to come out with Just Another Day. That was my first band. That was going to be the title, was Moving On. And we had a whole batch of songs, and that's a story for another day. But I think back to those times where, like, good memories like that, that makes me feel content. Like, we put our mark on something where, you know, yes, we were not 100% talented at that point. Like, we still were developing our chops. This is 2009. So, you know, we go out, I'll share this with you guys. We went out, Clem's Cafe, 2009 was like the beginning of me wanting to play live music forever. You know, I'm a teenager, and we went out and played our first show, and it was like, it was the most purest form of like the taste of something bigger than yourself. You know, you were part of a group and it was like a gang, and you went out and you ate after and you partied. You just appreciated the moment. And I think we get lost sometimes in not appreciating the moment, like not appreciating what is going on at that point in time. Like when you're a part of a really good system of, you know, for me, it was three-piece bands, which I think are the coolest bands of all time, especially I give credit to bands like the Wombats, who go out there, they're playing synthesizers and guitar and bass, like drum, everything at the same time. Like their timing is so good, it's like you don't expect it. And then when you're there and you see it live, you're like, this is a huge moment. Especially, I mean, it's hard to go to a concert without paying $500 now, but back in the days when you could pay like $40 or $50 to get a full show, it was a beautiful thing to be a part of. And for me, in those moments, even though like we were messing up lyrics or notes or what have you, it really wasn't too bad, all things considering, for our first really big gig. And I just embraced it. And I'm trying to get some of that flavor back, because I think it's a whole part of being young. You know, you want to stay young forever. You want to keep those moments. You want to be in a band forever. You want to have the most fun that you can have and without it ending. It's the Peter Pan effect of music. You never want to let anything go. You just want it to keep going. Ride the wave. And now I'm solo and things are different, but I'm still trying to channel some of that energy into my projects. And it's not going to happen overnight. You know, things develop over time. You know, like I said, these lyrics are very serious and like not too serious, but it delves into a really big personal part of my life. You know, the last EP I did was dedicated to my uncle who passed away. And that was a really serious thing, and it was a very sad thing. But it was a part of my story that I wanted to tell. And I think on any record, you know, you have the guy who's writing the lyrics, you know, depending on who does it. For me, I'm trying to find contentment in the situation that I have, and I'm also trying to channel it through my songwriting. So when you guys hear this record, when you guys hear the song, like 2 a.m., I mean, yeah, I released 2 a.m. on my live record, but I haven't gotten this intimate with the song before, you know, because you'll add sounds and synthesizers and certain things. I don't want it to be too polished. You know, you don't want everything to sound perfect. I always say it's like you have to have a little bit of imperfection with what you're doing because it makes you human. It shows the audience that you're human. I've said that for years. You know, look at what just happened on the pod. Sammy called out of nowhere. Throw them on. Funny. And it's moments like that keep it interesting. So keep your life interesting, keep it positive, and, you know, try to find some contentment in the things that make you who are you are. Because, you know, life is short on this planet. Right now, you know, the death rate's up, the depression's up. There's so many things that are against us, you know, that we were not prepared for. That's why I get so upset with the people who are older than me that try to make me feel like I need to be doing more, when really I'm doing just the right amount. For me, like I'm doing the right amount of what makes me feel content and respectable. You know, I've had two jobs since I was 16, 17 years old. When in reality, you could get by with 40 hours a week and one job way back when, and you could survive. But now, you can't survive, really, unless you have a two-income house. And, you know, there are still people who don't make $60,000 a year in this country. And it's because the world has just kicked them so much while they're down. And it's not good. And if you can find contentment between those barriers, then God love you. Because it's hard. It's a very, very difficult, again, it's a very difficult realm to navigate. You know, back in October last year, I was so depressed. I was so stressed out. I was sober, you know, probably just going through withdrawals from not drinking and trying to figure things out. But, you know, you go through a lot in your head when you're in that state of mind where your brain doesn't stop running. And I'm not saying that you need to drink to be stable, because that's not the case. You know, I've cut way down just so I could get a decent perception of where I'm at in the stream of time. Where I'm at is, you know, I could either let all these things bother me to the point where I'll call out of work every day and, you know, let things that people have said to me get to me, and, you know, but, or I could, you know, pick my leg up, pick my feet up one foot at a time. It's a horrible analogy. Put my pants on one leg at a time and just plow right through it. You know, it's not, it's never going to be perfect. Let's get that out of the way. It's never going to be perfect with the system that is going on right now. There's an unhealthy level of barriers that are just going to be in the way. But you can't let that bother you to the point of exhaustion and you just give up. You know, I could sit here and tell you all day long that I found a way on how to discover a new part of me. But it didn't happen overnight. It takes time. Everything comes with time. You know, you're not going to get over your friend dying the day after. Not that you ever really get over it, but you manage the pain on certain levels. You manage the pain, you manage the perception, you manage the tolerance, you manage the fear that that's going to be you one day. So I think that's why, you know, when you talk to people who are in their 70s and in their 80s and they say enjoy every minute of it, they're not lying. They're telling you the truth. And for sure, you know, my uncle died when he was 61, but he lived his life. He did what he wanted to do. And he, despite having the disease that, you know, eventually took him away, there were still points in his life where he did find some positivity and holding court in the corner and people looked up to him and, you know, the whole thing where he just, if you were his friend, it was like he was 100% with you, even though he had his bad moments. You know, I was fortunate enough to have a lot of moments with him and a lot of conversations and really heart-to-hearts about family and, like, you know. I never forget one day we're in the car, we're driving home. I think I picked him up from an appointment or something like that, or he needed a ride to the pharmacy or something like that. And, you know, we were talking about my grandparents, and I was always like, you know, I don't feel like I'm enough anyway. That's one of my downfalls. But I really did not feel like I did enough with them as their grandson. I always felt that way. But him and I were having a conversation in the car about it, and he goes, "You've more than paid your dues." you know, you've paid it 100-fold. It's just like, it's just hit me with stuff that I needed to hear because I didn't believe it. And in that moment of clarity, like, he told me something that I had wanted to hear for years, you know, and because it was true. I did love my grandparents and I loved him, and you try to make up for lost time as much as you can because there's not a lot of it. And that goes with the same thing that we've been talking about. If you're running, you know, we're on a clock, we're on the clock. Appreciate what you got. Don't make a big deal out of everything. And that's easy to do. Trust me. Holding on to things to the point where it's going to hinder you from making progress is never a good thing. It's not healthy. The people around you notice it. You start to distance yourself. They notice that too. You know, your family worries about you. It's tough. So, when you walk away from this episode, make sure you give your friends a call or your family a call. Just out of the blue. Challenge yourself. Call them out of the blue. Tell them how much you care about them. For no reason. Just do it. You will be shocked at how good you feel and how good you make them feel. It's very moving for me to share things like this with you guys because I never really had the courage to talk about it. You know, thank God for Abram Jones pushing me to the point of doing these solo podcasts, which I'm starting to get comfortable with. You know, maybe they suck, maybe they don't. But I know a lot of people who do these podcasts and they tell stories and, you know, it's a nice little break in the regular week. Like if you're a regular podcast listener, there's guests and stuff like that. But I think it's good for people to come on, like myself, and just get some clarity. And hopefully the stories help, and hopefully you can have a good time listening to it. I don't really know what, there's not really a whole lot going on. Trying to recover, getting back from vacation. A lot of things happened and a lot of things to process. I had a great time. I talked about it on one of the pods where I first came back, and it was just nice to like hang out with, people who have known, some of them have known me for nearly 2 decades, and it was just great to get that, those special moments of being a kid back. Because, you know, again, when you're a kid, that stuff does not last forever. And it's gone in an instant. I was thinking about skateboarding the other day. I was like, man, if I tried to buy a skateboard right now and I tried to skate, I would fall and break my hip. There's no... But I would just love to do it. Like, go out of the blue. That whole thing was a blast. Getting your deck and your trucks and your bearings and, you know, just the paint job on the bottom, you know, the designs and the grip tape. The whole thing, it was my world for years. And even though you fall 18,000 times and it does hurt, it's the best time in the world. Once you can figure everything out, the camaraderie. That's why punk rock music and skating were so alike. The camaraderie. Just like you were in a gang and, you know, you had secret handshakes and, you know, once somebody landed a trick, everybody went insane. It was just like, it was a very positive support. And, like, going to the skate park, I was so comfortable because it was just 15, 20 people that were just like me that were just happy to be around and alive and being able to skate and move and exercise somewhat, because you did sweat your onion off, no question. But it was a lot of fun. So if you can find some contentment in that, figure out what's fun. Figure out what you still love doing. Discover new hobbies. You know, point being, find some happiness. Find something that makes you stable and can be a benefit. Anyway. All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to the pod. I will be having a special guest on Sunday. Hopefully be releasing that episode that night. Mr. John Royer is coming back to chill with us, so look forward to that. Peace and love. This has been a Why You Laughing podcast, and we are clear.